Thursday, July 14th. All board members are present. And we have seen the minutes before today, so they are approved as distributed. We are looking to OSU Extension and 4-H update.
Gentlemen, I thank you, and I have Karen Dowdry, who you'll recognize from the Pacific Equestrian, with a request to be on the agenda to talk about Booster Club use of the fairgrounds. She asked me if that was possible. I gave her sort of a condensed version of where we were at with the fairgrounds and suggested that she talk to you. So Karen's here simply to ask about an October use for the Booster Club. And if you want to put that later in the agenda, that would be just fine. I just wanted to be sure that she had a moment to ask those questions.
Sure.
So we're clicking right along. We've got a month to go before fair. Here are the rodeo panels and the discussion on rodeo panels. I've spent countless hours out there mapping our back pen, talking about panels that are dead, and you'll see my little cryptic hash marks at the bottom. Total panels needed, total panels needed to create the back pen, the need for the ones that are rusty, and the ones that we have new, including stuff we had in inventory and the new stuff that we bought last year. If you flip to page 2, that spreadsheet shows you replacing everything we have that is really horrible right now. Came in right at $10,000. Two things we could do to offset that. Some of those, let me backtrack just a moment. One thing I discovered out there is that green paint hides a lot. And some of those panels, although you think they're solid, you can simply push a pencil through them in places. So short of going up and down every rail of every panel, there's no way to assure that every one of those is still solid. This list incorporates the ones that are visibly horrible that need to go. I've come to realize that replacing panels in climate like this is just going to be necessity over time. There's no other way to do it. So even though this will get us back in fine shape, doesn't mean we won't be going through this in 3 years when the weather eats some more of them. So just so that's on the table. One thing we can do to offset that cost a little bit, you see those 10-foot panels to the tune of $3,100. We have those in back stock right now. We have 10 panels that we could use that we're not using. They've been in the horse barn. It's been nice to have those to replace ones or supplement ones that go bad. And if we didn't order any 10-foot panels and saved that $3,000, we'd have no back stock at all. But I just wanted to put that out there, that if a $7,000 bill was more palatable for some reason, we could make that work on 7 instead of 10. There's the total panel bill. Do with it what you want. Coastal Farm and Ranch can deliver those before fair, and we're in good shape.
Mr. Chair, would it be okay if we just took this up and right now?
Yeah.
I think let's do it. I would like to make a motion that we authorize the expenditure of $10,212 with Coastal Farm and Ranch for purchase of the new panels as outlined in Todd's proposal.
Since these are permanent fixtures, Mr. Belmont,
the
capital expenditure?
Yes, sir.
Come out of the capital fund? Okay, I'll second.
And my question is only that, apropos of your comment about green paint, is there anything we can do to extend the life of these now?
The one big thing we could do, and Jack's already done it, is if we do regular maintenance, if we put heavy epoxy paint on those things annually or every other year, it will extend them significantly. Where they go bad is when we leave them in the weather, they start to rust, and then they deteriorate very quickly. If we could put it on a schedule of putting heavy paint on those every other year at minimum, yes, we'll extend it significantly.
And just since I'm not an engineer, I assume these are structurally designed to hold creatures, right?
Not just creatures. You'll see that there's a difference on that list between what they call a super classic and a classic panels. Those are both bull panels versus horse panels, which are significantly heavier. The super classic is 70 inches high. The classic is 64 inches high. We use the 70-inch panel around our entire rodeo perimeter of the arena. We use the 64-inch classic panel in all the back pin area.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are the appropriate panels for what we're doing.
I don't have any other questions. Anybody else? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous.
I'll get those coming. Thank you. This is something I stumbled across, and it's just food for thought. We were talking about signage and branding, and I saw one of these structures at the Sisters Rodeo. This is there's some color pictures further back in the packet. This is for all intents and purposes, no pun intended, this is a tent that will seat 100 and... Where'd my note go? I lost my note. It will seat almost 200 people underneath the structure in chairs. It'll seat 132 with tables. So it's a big tent. And you can see by the design, it's designed to spill wind rather than accumulate wind. It's very similar to like a Moss Parawing. So it works well in windy situations. Of course, they won't guarantee that coastal winds won't blow it down, and there's some common sense that needs to be used. These tents right now through KD canopies are 30% off. That's roughly a $5,000 tent. They can screen print them, and we could put Lincoln County Commons and have a wonderful looking billboard for about $3,500. And that eave height to walk underneath it is 7 foot 5 inches. So it's not a small structure that people have to duck under. And they're very contemporary and modern looking. I will only add that we do have we own one 20 by 30 tent for 4-H that 4-H is using because of the layout of the auction, the Samaritan barbecue, the senior barbecue on Friday as well. We're going to have a need for two tents this year. So if this fit into the branding marketing plan and we silkscreen Lincoln County Commons on that, this would be a beautiful contemporary looking structure that I think would be a great addition and something that you guys could rent out to other groups. A rental tent is about $500. So just an option. I thought it made sense.
What would you use it for this year?
We would put the Samaritan barbecue in it because the 4-H group and for their market auction is going to be using the 4-H tent that we have.
So all of the stuff that was under the big tent last year, the senior barbecue on Friday is actually a big one, and then Samaritan has it all day on Saturday as well. And we have other groups that, you know, I could fill two tents probably with activities and things like that. So
Mr. Belmont Facilities Fund?
They can have it about 2 weeks if we screen print it. They can have it before the fair for us, certainly.
$3,500.
$5,000, 30% off. $400 for screen printing. If we want to put the county logo on it, that $400 for screen printing one color. $100 per color. So if we wanted the county logo in two colors with Lincoln County Commons, it'd be $800 to screen it.
What's the fabric?
I wonder if it says it here. It's a heavy ballistic nylon, treated ballistic nylon. So it's not as heavy as the vinyl, the PVC vinyl that you see on things like the standard tent. But again, that's designed into the engineering because it's lighter, because it spills wind better. It doesn't need to be that really heavy PVC stuff.
How many people would it take to erect it?
I put up our other tent by myself last year, and I assume I can do the same with this. I don't know the answer to that.
Do we have a place we can store it?
In our new storage facility created by Jack, absolutely. And the whole package together, including poles and everything, is about 350 pounds.
And we could expect it to last for 10 years, 12 years,
depending on
cared for is the big issue there. If it's put away wet and mildewy, it's we've got issues. But I think if it's cared for, absolutely. I think a decade of use, we could certainly get out of it.
And you can envision some other uses for it.
Absolutely.
I think anything that gets people out of the rain allows us better usage of the commons. And I think this is a start to doing that.
I think you could make back that money on it within a couple years and renting it for groups that have it there. They rent tents elsewhere as it is. And having something that's there ready to go, they know where to put it and so forth, that you can make back that pretty quickly, I think.
Do you know what the turnaround is for ordering?
Turnaround time, they can about 2 weeks they can have it to us.
Is there a way that it could actually be up the week before the fair?
Or almost 2 weeks before the fair at this point, yeah. It's a big billboard.
I like that idea. It would be a big billboard.
The pictures don't do it justice. It's an impressive structure.
Great. This, by the way, I think I talked to you a year ago about, I was in touch with the people who did the Denver airport.
Uh-huh.
And this is kind of like the baby version of the serious one. That if we had the funds to actually do it, this would be a rain protection, but on a scale 10 times this.
Correct.
But so on the immediate issue here, do we have a motion?
I'd like to move that we authorize up to $5,000 that way in case we decide we want to go with the second color or if there's any other expenses for hardware for purchase of a tent as proposed by Todd.
I'll second, and I see it as a capital because it's a long-term.
Me too.
More than 5 years.
Mr. Belmont?
Yes. Yeah, I'll confirm that with finance, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
Now, this does not picture them, but... Do these come with enclosure?
Sides? I don't know that. I don't believe they do because, again, those extensions that come down, I think, offer sort of the side protection. But I'll ask that.
More helpful for us.
It would be to keep us out of the weather.
Frank, I think the big thing is the way it's designed and with the openings. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I suggest.
But it's the aerodynamics of... that makes it usable, if you will, even in a relatively windy circumstance.
Yeah.
If you're going to do this, though, I'd suggest actually it looks like they've got two options for actually driving the stakes. One is where you put it on the ground. You have to have 30 inches, be able to go 30 inches in depth, but they also have the hard plates, you know, which is actually allows you to set it up on concrete or asphalt.
We might be able to put those anchors in somewhere.
Since you're going to buy the system,
that's part of what I was thinking about, rising up to five.
That would limit the places where people could put it, but it would probably make it more stable.
Because
I think you can utilize each
right.
one.
Yeah. I like that.
I agree. It's a good option.
So buy the option, buy the whole option.
Okay.
Since we don't know how much that would cost, can I amend the motion to propose we even authorize up to $7,500?
Sure. I'm certain it'll come in under that.
Accept the amendment.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll cover. If you want to get that
answer. And because time is of the essence, Wayne, can this motion have a provision that if the three of us are contacted by email to raise this amount,
if it has to go beyond this,
that we're not delayed? Should we do that?
Here's what we'll do is we'll come back to you and let you know if it costs more than that. If anybody objects, then we won't proceed.
Okay. Well, it's just that our next meeting is after.
Right.
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying is that we'll let you know. Todd will get us the actual price. We'll let you know. If you object, we will be.
Got
if anybody objects, we'll hold it up.
Okay. Otherwise, it goes.
Otherwise, where are we at with your motion, Bill?
So motion to authorize up to 70 members. Should we even say 10? I mean, I don't think it's going to go to 10, but that
it's
way
not
we're
covered. I guarantee it's not.
Yeah.
We probably have two of them for 10.
Yeah.
Well, let's, if it's all right with you, because
we'll just put that
we know you're only going to spend what you need, but it'll save later if there's
later communication.
You won't have to hassle it.
So are you willing to accept that second amendment?
I'll accept the second amendment.
All right. So is there any further discussion? And no more to add?
No.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous.
For clarity, can we look at that Lincoln County logo behind Bill and vision that in two colors and saying Lincoln County Commons instead of Lincoln County, Oregon, and make that the logo on the side of that shade?
I like that. And Casey has that logo in high resolution form, and he can probably make those modifications good. traditionally when we've done it in color, the wave has been blue and the sun has been yellow, but I guess we could do the whole thing in blue, do you think?
I think we can do two
colors.
In addition to black.
No, we do the lettering probably in blue.
And blue and then do the sun in yellow.
And then add some yellow.
Yep.
And this part would go away and it would say Lincoln County and then
Commons.
Commons.
Correct.
And I would suggest that he make the Commons as big as you can underneath Lincoln County.
Well, yeah, shrink the Lincoln County and make the Commons bigger. Oregon and established 1893 go away.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've worked with Casey and he, I'm sure he can get you a good high resolution graphic because then when they blow it up, it's nice to have it as sharp as possible.
Well, I'd like to have that when I'm doing publicity as well. I think it'd be nice if we're working this rebranding.
So with that in mind, and looking at these two pictures, just so we're all on the same wavelength here, are we looking more the scale now? I'm talking about of the large M above the word monster, or are we looking at more of the eagle seal on the other page, scale wise?
I think you're looking more at if we look at the monster one, I think we can fit that logo between the two vertical posts. So even wider than the monster logo.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Between the vertical posts.
Because the earlier discussions we had about this, doing something to really be an eye catcher, and I think this accomplishes that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a great brand for the Commons.
Something fresh to the Fairgrounds too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with regard to if let's say you get it delivered 2 or 3 weeks before the fair, where would you propose to put it up as part of our advanced publicity?
We're working on that. Of course, the place where it would make the most sense is right sort of adjacent to the soundstage, closest to 3rd Street, where people could see it best. Where it likely will need to go for the fair, and whether we move it or just set it up there to begin with, we'll be back towards 3rd and Harney against the tree line a little bit. But, of course, that would block visibility a little bit for it. But Michelle's still working on the layout of where the bouncy houses, the music venue, the Samaritan tent, all of that is going to go. So, but I would think we'd put it right in the middle of the green space.
I would throw out as a possibility, since it's not going to stay there, on Harney Street, so it gets the maximum
exposure. The traffic. That is there a good spot?
In other words, all we're doing before the fair is advertising.
Using it as a billboard.
If you put it on the fair grounds, it's not going to be seen. So that's all. I just throw that out for what it's worth because it's a promotional strategy. So you guys, okay.
Can I make one more request related to that?
Yeah.
When you're setting it up, get a picture and put it on the website, or Facebook page, and send it to Casey so he can send it out to the media.
We had a great radio interview with Casey, by the way, yesterday, and I think there's a fun promo coming up on the 21st that will air on the radio.
Great.
Question, would they cut us better deal if we got two and we have use for two?
I can ask. As I said, I bet 10,000 might buy two.
Okay.
I'm okay with that if you guys are okay.
I am too.
If you can get two for 10.
They are screen printed, so once they burn that screen, the second screen printing probably is at least less expensive. I'll ask and report back.
It seems to me once they're set up, they ought to be able to make the second one cheaper than the first one. Yeah.
It'd be very
good. If you can get it for two for under 10, get them.
All right, perfect.
All right, for Tanya's purposes, we have just amended a motion previously adopted informally
to authorize purchase of two if they can be cheap for under the 10,000 mark.
I'll move we amend the prior motion we just passed to allow Todd to, if he can, get two tents for the 10 grand and not just be limited to one.
Second.
Okay, and is there any further discussion? No? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
It's approved. Okay.
Perfect.
So, and then as soon as you're done, signal her and she'll go right into
it. Okay. from our open class superintendent and Michelle, we would like to give out either a commissioner's choice or a fair board choice award or awards in our open class exhibits. I don't know that that takes a formal motion. We'd just like you guys to come view the exhibits and decide on some awards to give away. Are you game?
Sure.
Yeah. And we'll buy appropriate awards for those and determine what you're viewing. We'll give you the criteria by which you judge. We'd just like you to be there and say I don't know if you want to. I don't know what makes more sense: fair board awards or commissioners awards. We don't have the commissioners here to ask them other than Bill. Yeah. Fair board awards. Yeah. All right.
And in that regard, since I wanted to talk about this anyway, are we prepared, the three of us, to kind of spell each other to try and have a presence as much?
I'm going to try to be there as much as possible.
Okay, because I'd like it if we could have a home, rather than be tucked in a corner somewhere with a chair and a table.
That's something we talked about.
Who says we're going to give you a chair?
A little more prominent in the way of a display than we did last year about the redevelopment plans.
I like it.
We talked about that.
Yeah,
so that would be nice.
Refresh my memory again, the dates for the fair.
19, 20, 21 of August.
Part of the agenda.
And that will be kind of up to you. So there's two levels, it seems like, of what you're talking about. There's a display, static version of information that you might want to put out there, and then your presence. I'm thinking if we have those two tents, having a space.
Yeah, what are your plans
tents
for the tents during the fair?
So
well,
one of
like
them,
Samaritan will have it all day. You're staying for what?
They will both be used in blocks of time.
Samaritan will have the existing tent. Oh, new one will be used.
So actually, Samaritan will have the new one. Because if we only get one, I'm going to count on Todd's ability to get us two.
Okay, so that raises the other question, and that is, this tent has four sides, mm-hmm. and for this to truly be effective, that logo should be seen from all four sides.
So that's why I included that that graphic on the last page. So that's a layout of the panels, and she told me that it costs $100 per color per panel to screen. So the way I read that is that we can screen all four of those panels, two colors, for $800. There's four panels. So yes, I think we could put it on both ends and both sides for $800.
So then where I was going with that is that if we could have our home mm-hmm. under one of these tents right. where the logo is pretty
that's
obvious,
awesome.
And we would have a fair board sign in, so people could talk to us.
And likely, well, Michelle will work that out. You likely can, with the exception of when somebody might be in there with a big event. For example, when Samaritan's there for their barbecue, they'll probably take over the whole thing, although we probably still haven't put them in.
I'm counting on you getting two tents.
Yeah.
And if we got two, you think we've got one that
well, absolutely.
Can be county
so
only
one,
the whole
So one will be designated
time.
for whatever the event that needs a tent is, be it the barbecue or Samaritan at this point.
Okay.
The other tent is overflow.
I didn't mean the whole tent.
Right.
You guys could have a bar dance.
Then however they approach it,
exactly.
We can, okay.
Yeah, we have the same idea.
All right, so
that's not a deal breaker, just trying to find it.
Yeah,
spot.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay.
Tables and chairs have been ordered, I believe. I sent Jack a note. We at least have those, and we found some significant savings online, about half the price that we ended up paying through Granger. So I think we're in good shape there, and that'll certainly add to our accessories and accommodate what we need. On that note, the storage area, getting that cleaned out last month, getting the ramp built, is going to be a huge addition. The ramp ended up kind of large, but we have some ideas on how to utilize that so that it's a stage, actually. But I think being able to get that stuff out of the way is going to be hugely beneficial to what we're trying to do there. So thank you, Jack, and thank you, Fair Board. Michelle has Fair Board passes for you.
Actually, I have books that I left up there for you. The yellow ticket there on the top gets you into any fair in the state for free. So
including the state fair.
Oh, yeah, including awesome. The state fair. So those are your passes. The image underneath is Casey McEnany's poster for this year. We're working on, it'll be a smaller version in order to get logos and text and so forth on there. But have fun identifying the marine within the agriculture there. That is your challenge.
There are hidden objects in your poster.
Yeah.
That poster, again, is created by Casey McEnany, second year in a row.
Lighthouse with a barn.
Oh, this is fun.
Yeah, and we'll, of course, have a contest for kids to identify those sorts of things.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
We're very, very pleased with the way the poster turned out. So second year in a row.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Do you have anything else?
No, just things are moving ahead. We are grateful to News Times that has kicked in and that we're already seeing the benefits of some of those advertisements. Got a call from a volunteer today, which was wonderful. Starting to fill up the inside. We are excited to have OMSI on board to be doing activities in our main exhibit hall as well. So as usual, we're doing a lot of shuffling and figuring things out, but that's the best problem to have. So we're excited.
Great.
Yep.
And with that, we have Karen Doherty here to talk about Newport Boosters.
Yes, thank you for allowing me to speak in front of you. The Newport Boosters annual fall banquet and auction will be coming up on October 14th of this year. And I understand that the county has decided not to rent it out to any private organizations. The problem that we're having is we've grown so much that the other facilities that we've given up, because we've gone to the fairgrounds, because we've made it more user-friendly for the younger generation, the 30s and 40s, and it's been a big boost to our income, which goes back to the community, not just for sports in the schools, but for the soccer field, the football field, the baseball fields, and other community events that without that income, we wouldn't be able to help the kids or the community as we have in the past. And what we're basically asking for is if we are able to use that facility on October 14th.
Quick question, if I could. I mean, I thought what we said was we weren't going to rent it for like private, like family parties, but available for organizations.
Okay.
And that information came from me. I basically said we'd sort of had a moratorium there, and that I felt like the infrastructure improvements had been made, and the request now was appropriate again.
Yeah.
So
well, that was only for family parties because we were having security issues with those. So. Amy, do you know it's available that day? Okay, let's make it happen.
Great. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
We don't have to know that.
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions about
us?
Thank you.
There's a question from the audience.
Yes.
You were talking about advertising for the fair and stuff like that. Do you have any way that you can make what you're going to put on the tent on Highway 20, Highway 101, here and there, so that you're advertising like a week or 2 weeks before the fair? And if they coincide with what that is, then they're going to look for that sign, and they're, oh, there it is.
We do already have the chamber marquee sign. We have a 4x8 sign there that will be displayed.
Nobody looks at that, really. I don't. I mean, I probably pass under a dozen.
Something
that looks like that.
Yeah, we also have banners that we put up, although they don't look like that. We did talk about that sort of thing as sort of a signage plan, I think, in last month's meeting. I don't know if we ever progressed that thought.
Well, all I know is that the people who do the quilt show do an outstanding job of putting signs everywhere. Whether or not they're all legal, I don't know. But the other issue is, remember that with regard to what we discussed earlier, we're still educating the community about what the commons is.
Right.
So the signs have to be much more fair-oriented, and I trust you guys have thoughts on that.
I think we've done what our budget supports, which is the banners on both highways 20 and 101, which say fair and direct people to the fair, the chamber marquee. I don't know that we have budget and or space to go put up more big signs that advertise that this year.
Cars where you can see them car length rather than being up here. They should be so you drive into them.
Are you thinking like the A-frame type of signs, like you put out the skills show?
Yeah.
Well, can I suggest that you might want to look maybe and maybe look at some costs for some of those. The other thing that seems to be very effective right now, since Thompson hasn't redeveloped his property, you know, with
is they've been putting signs on there.
It's just a reader board right there that you can rent very inexpensively.
Is that the one on
Simply Foots?
Which spot is that?
On 20, the old Thompson, right across from like where the insurance office and the rental car is.
The one that I was talking about. Do you know if we need a permission from somebody to put something there?
Just from Thompson, because it's private property. They allow it.
This is trash, so it's Thompson Senior.
Yeah.
We'll look into that because we do have one side of the chamber sign that we could easily put up there facing 20. So that would be.
I know they often get permission to do that.
Yeah.
And then I guess the question is back to you. Does the county want to invest in terms of that branding? Something that is linking the two. So visit the Lincoln County Fair, and if we genericize it can continue for several years at the Lincoln County Commons with that new logo.
You're titled here. That's one of the things I didn't want to bring up related to this, but you know, you could actually expand the logo here.
Do you want to put the full title on there because it is kind of the anchor of it?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
It makes it a little more busy, but
no, I agree.
Yeah.
So maybe
because we said with the permanent signs, that's what we wanted to do.
So I'm sorry. Were you saying do that on the tents?
Yeah.
The only issue that may come up there is somebody renting it maybe bothering.
Right, but we're not saying it's the fair.
Yeah, I know.
We're saying the commons is the home of
Lincoln County Fair.
Yeah,
right.
I got that.
Right.
I don't think anybody's going to.
Let's do that because I
assuming it can be reasonably done, Todd.
Yeah.
So let me ask their designer to do a couple of mocks. Yeah. They're going to send us back a proof anyway. Yeah. You guys can look at it both ways.
Yeah, maybe do one with and one without and see how it looks.
Well, one without, one with, one without was another thought I had, which is if you can slip in two when they go in screen, we might, on one of them, just have put the Lincoln County Commons, and on the other, put the Lincoln County Commons home instead of the Lincoln County Fair. So you might have one.
Yeah.
I think your two sides will need to be. I think your two sides need to be what you're talking about, the shorter version.
Yeah.
Your two big faces, because they're smaller faces and larger faces.
Yeah, probably
so two small faces could be what you're saying without that.
But my point is, you might be able to go and put Commons home of the bear on one tent, but just put Commons on the other tent.
Sorry, I was hearing side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
We'll look at all those options.
This all started with this young lady's comment, and you know, this comment has come back to us repeatedly over
about
the years.
About eight signs on 101 and 20.
It seems to me we should do everything we can, and I got the sense that you felt there were some budgetary limitations.
See, if we kicked you a little more money,
is there any way we can
find out how much it costs to rent?
Let's get some options. You know,
okay.
Go explore that stuff. But yeah, I think we can.
Linda's got it.
Doesn't the chamber have the big A-frames that they will rent out? And then you just.
I don't know. The chamber does the Newport rental.
Will you check into that? Chamber Newport rental and maybe half a dozen or whatever.
And
I think we can cover that and just get some nice slicks, even if they're temporary.
Have you also thought about Burma-shaped signs?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a quilt idea. That's what I would.
They've done that.
Because those are signs that, if you've got the storage area, if you know, if they're taken care of, they can be used over and over again. Oh, absolutely. But I don't know what the cost of those would be. So.
And on that note, too, which I'm sorry I forgot this earlier, I've been trying to figure out the handicap parking challenge that we run into every time. There's one spot that's, or two maybe, that are reserved over in the high school lot. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that would be nice, again, to outfit our fairgrounds with, because the high school always allows the weekend events to use that area, is some sort of signage that can be taken out there and plopped in so that we are able to reserve those permanently.
Okay. We have it when we assist the farmers market here.
Do we have any extra handicap parking signs or temporary ones on pylons or anything like that? Because they want to designate additional spaces in the high school lot. It's
I think
disabled.
We have about six or eight of the signs around. I'll have to locate them. I think we already have them.
Okay, I'll check in with you. I'm just glad you reminded me on that one.
Great.
Mr. Chair, before we move on, I don't want to lose something. Could I make a motion? And if you both think this is appropriate. Todd, Michelle are going to check into A-frames and would you, my motion would be that you authorize me as vice chair of this board to approve an expenditure from our budget to cover the cost of the rentals if it seems appropriate. Since we're not going to meet again before fair,
I'm fine.
You know, I mean, if we're talking a couple of $100, I think that would be nice.
We're up against time here and so forth. I'm okay with that.
Why don't you get back to me with a number, and if it seems reasonable,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. I didn't hear that motion. We're just allowed.
Okay, it's consent since it's not a formal motion.
Yeah.
Do you want to put a not to exceed amount on that?
No. Just a trust bill.
They trust me.
We will.
I am an office holder.
Thank you for allowing us to micromanage.
No, thank you. I mean, that helps us. We want that advertising out there, so thanks. Thank you for the suggestion.
Before we get to the RFP thing, someone came up to me the other day at City Hall. I don't know their name. They work in Public Works, but... Amy, could you listen in on this? I want to find the source of this, but somebody from the loyalty days said that they were turned away from using the fairgrounds,
was that maybe from 2 years ago? I think
2 years ago they were, because we had another event.
It was already booked for the Rocky Mountain Elk
this
Banquet.
Last year they were given a go-ahead to do it, and then they just stopped. We had given them the security requirements and all of that, and then they just quit contacting us. So
this year they could have done it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were turned down the year before because it was already booked for the Rocky Mountain Elk Banquet.
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
I want to skip the RFP updates for the moment and go to county staff update because I want to talk with Jack about something, or you guys did talk to Jack about something. So I know about the RFP because I've been working on it.
Sure.
I got to leave at 11:15. So, but Jack, I want to talk about the water.
Okay. I'll just go ahead and give it as part of my total update. Good news is we've put hundreds of gallons of paint up and power washed extensively.
It really refreshes.
It looks cleaner.
Yeah.
It's getting better. We've identified a lot of more maintenance needs that need to be done, but the good news is it is looking fresher.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bad news, the water, we're at an impasse. We have done everything we can to improve the flow through our fair grounds. We have identified that we have 30 working pounds of pressure at the city's supply,
which is on Third.
It reacts as though it has got a plug further up the line, because the 30 pounds, I'm almost sure, is nothing more than head pressure, a half hour or more of use on any one of the spigots, and it dribbles down to almost nothing. I've not gotten a whole lot of response back from the city. I spoke with Olaf briefly, and basically he didn't commit to anything. He wouldn't confirm nor deny we had an issue. So I'm doing what I can. It looks like for fair we may end up having to tap into other resources to get the water to the places we need it in time. I tried to get a hydrant test done, and they put me out 2 weeks, so that's another 2 weeks from today before they can do a hydrant test. I'm not even sure that our hydrants are up to pressure or flow rates.
Wayne, given all of this, do you think a call from your dispenser might be appropriate?
It will be. It's going to happen at the end of July.
He just left. Okay.
We're against the wall, and it doesn't look like there's...
I'll make some inquiries about it.
Please.
I've exhausted all of my resources to get it done.
Because, I mean,
we have solutions. I mean, we have an idea of solutions, but it is going to, me and Jim had talked about it earlier, it's going to involve a new connection, either 7th or Harney. The 3rd Street line just doesn't have what we need. We exhausted everything. We've changed and removed backflow preventers. We have bypassed backflow preventers. We barely meet the city minimum for pressure, but we do meet it, so they're not willing to act on that. And now it's, can we prove the maximum flow rates, which takes testing and time and coordination of the city. And
question.
That's where we're running.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So the new connection, that would be in addition to the existing one?
It would be a utilities upgrade. Typically, yeah. Those run between $9,000 and $17,000.
And I assume that's on our dime.
And you know, that is a legal discussion to be had because they are required to provide the facility with the water that the facility needs. And a 2-inch line at standard pressure should be sufficient for all 8 structures. Mm-hmm. And the yard, they have the yard equipment for a, what is it, a 9-acre facility? Mm-hmm. It should be, but it's not. And so now it's the onus is on us to prove that it's their problem, not ours. But how do we do that in the time frame and then get the scheduled public improvement put in time for the fair?
Even if we can prove it, even
that's not going to happen before a fair.
Getting them to actually get something done.
I'm going to suggest you're going to have to do your alternatives.
Okay.
You're going to have to.
Yeah, Wayne. Hold it right there.
What?
You could be talking about $100,000.
Oh. No, well,
that's temporary.
I have some ideas.
I'm talking about the full blown route you and I are talking about.
Not the full blown. I'm talking about doing what you need to do to get through this. Period.
That involves connection to a fire hydrant, which now there's some legalities because the hydrants are on our property. Are they still governed by the city, or do they legally belong to us and can be used by us? I mean, because we can try those hydrants and connect to them and then bring water to...
Do they sit within our property?
They sit within our property.
Not on the right-of-way.
Not on the right-of-way. They are in the center of the property. Now, whether or not those were part of an old city plan for a road that doesn't exist anymore, and whether or not they haven't been tested in my history with the county... 11 years now, I've never known them hydrants to have ever been turned on the property. So it's going to be a big question mark as to whether or not they even work. But
we can use them.
Yeah. And then if that doesn't work, I have yet another avenue I can get water there. But then again, I'm going to be stepping on toes.
And it keeps escalating in price.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that... assuming we put up this new building, my understanding is we're going to have to sprinkle the new building.
Right.
If we have, that being true, what we currently have coming on third, there is no way that it's going to meet the requirements or have enough pressure, have enough volume to do that.
Anyway.
We'd have to put in a complete new tap. The ultimate extreme that I was just interrupting Wayne with would be to tap the high pressure line over on 7th Street and run a new line all the way over to our fairgrounds to go and support the new building and so forth. But now again, you're talking $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can get obviously a better or an acceptable solution, not a better one, but an acceptable solution for less money, great. But we've got two problems. The first is the immediate problem of we've got to somehow take care of the fair, whether it's a temporary measure off the fire hydrant or whatever it is we have to do. But second, we're going to have to address this issue with the city because otherwise we can't put up a new building. I don't know why we have to spend $100,000 to tap the high pressure side over on 7th Street and run all the way over to our new structure when the city should be providing us adequate volume and adequate pressure at third at our site.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying you got exactly what you're saying. You got to deal with the immediate issue.
Right.
You're not going to get the long-term solution done before the fair.
Okay. Well, I guess the only thing I would add is that there are obviously companies that go out and set up temporary cities. I mean that in a, and like the Seafood and Wine Festival or the Oregon Country Fair, they got to bring water in volume, and it's all done with equipment that just gets trucked in. And so I would simply...
That's
very expensive.
Very
expensive.
Well,
I can bet everything that
we're saying is that we should put that expense in contrast with what other solutions we have available.
Yeah, the system I've put in so far trying to alleviate it can be backfed from any source that I can find. If I can find another source with adequate flow and adequate pressure, I can backfeed the system I have. It's new. It's ready to rock and roll. And we can even later at a later date, if that ad hoc connection becomes permanent, can be backfed again to the buildings. So the structure is now there. We've put that in place. I just need a source of it, and then finding that source, temporary or permanent, is.
Do we need to take any action other than to say keep working on a solution
if you,
and do what you
can? Any avenue that you can open to the city to find a sympathetic ear would be much appreciated.
And I think that's our directive to Wayne: start making contact in the city immediately, and if it has to be elevated up to Spencer when he gets back at the end of the month.
Well, Timmy Gross is the person we need to talk to.
But I think it's probably going to have to go up to Spencer.
Yes, ma'am. But
is it, and he says that fire hydrant's on our property over here. This property belongs to the county. It don't belong to the city.
But they're obligated to provide an adequate
Fire hydrant doesn't belong to the city if it's on the
It's our hydrant, but it's their water.
But it's their water line.
Their water line.
Okay.
And it's a little more complicated.
Yeah, and it would have to be metered in some way because we do have to pay for the water. So there would be an agreement.
Water, right.
Yeah, there would have to be an agreement with the city in order to attach a temporary meter to the hydrant, even though the hydrant is on our
water. Come there with the rest of their team.
Can
you go turn on today?
We can. There are ramifications to that, though. I have to let everybody know that I'm doing it because it will dramatically drop the water pressure in the area if it is gone, and it will dust up that nice brown color we get. And typically, City of Newport puts out a little email and some notices saying, if you see discolored water.
So it's not a simple turn.
It's not a simple thing. It's just crack the valve and, oh, look, we have water. There's...
Gotcha.
I can get myself into a wee bit of trouble by doing
6 weeks
it.
From now.
You can get water out of that hydrant to backfill your system. Then what, a flex hose off the hydrant?
We would do a flex hose to a connection. Yep, backfeed my system.
You have old hose and you have it in sufficient quantity.
I can get it in sufficient quantity from local vendors, no problem. So we can get there.
So you got what you need.
Except for that temporary meter. That's the part I will need from the city.
The city must keep them.
They do, and Todd was able to wrangle one last year, but they were not happy about it.
No,
and specifically said they wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
The one question I have is, can we temporarily trench those flex lines to mitigate tripping hazards, and can we get that to the from the hydrants to the livestock barns is no problem.
Absolutely.
With a quick temporary trench, but back to the food vendors, you think?
I think I could get a shallow trench dug for tripping hazards and that, but without the meter, there's no sense digging a ditch unless
I've got
that key in
place. Well, what's the city's reluctance to let us use a temporary meter?
That's a convoluted conversation. That started with a discussion between Lanny and I where he absolutely would not do it. I escalated that from our standpoint, saying, hey, we're all working together here. Let's play nice in the sandbox. And finally Spencer said, yeah, we'll do it. I'll get my public works guy on it. And who's the water guy? Whoever the fellow above Lanny called me back and said, Spencer said, do it, we will do
Tim
it,
Gross.
But we're only going to do it for 1 year.
What's their reluctance?
I think their reluctance is that turning those on and off, the what do they call the shock to the system?
The line shock, yeah.
Yeah, that it wrecks things within their system when you turn those hydrants on and off like that.
Well, what the heck happens to them if they have a fire and actually have to use it?
I guess maybe that's an acceptable consequence versus using it for essentially domestic water or livestock. What's that?
I mean, come on, if I go out there and turn on the fire hydrant and I ease it on and everything, I can minimize the shock you're talking about. But if I've got a fire and go out there and hook it up, to the steamer and hit it, man, and now you do have the kind of shock you're talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just not accepting that.
And I would encourage you to go have that discussion with them from a county standpoint. I got no traction on that at all.
At our pay grade,
We don't get that far into the bureaucracy to actually touch the books. Okay,
another great pun. We don't carry that much water.
I don't think we're going to resolve this.
Yeah, we're not going to, for sake of time, I think we've heard everything. Wayne, you're taking it forward, and let's leave it at that. So let's continue with the county staff update.
One last, speaking of sandbox, the SAR building project kicked in high gear. We finally got some permits through.
Okay.
I was able to take all of the nice beach sand that we found underneath the gravel layer, and I rat-holed it over on the fairgrounds. We inspected it. It looks adequate for the rodeo grounds. There are some rocks in it, so the 4-H will have to do a rock walk after it gets spread. But it looks like I'll be able to put some of that on the rodeo grounds and get that up to grade before fair.
And just in case anybody here is wondering, this is for the search and rescue building on the Sheriff's Impound lot property adjacent to Public Works.
Yes.
Correct? And you're talking about you've taken that sand over.
Yes, I had to find a place for it, and I couldn't find a better place than that. So
sounds like an ability.
Lake Duncan. Yeah. So it's there, and it needs to be spread.
For what it's worth, I was aware that the PUD was trying to find some place for fill. You don't need fill, right?
I need a specific type of fill.
Okay. Their site that they're prepping up north is going to create fill, and I heard they had offered some of that to the Booster Club or something. But
yeah, if I can inspect that fill and make sure that I can't have rocks or debris or rebar.
What they want to get rid of isn't something that somebody wants, which is why they give it away. Now I'm not saying that's true in this case. That's kind of the general
rule. Somebody
wants.
It's not what somebody wants. I mean, if you've got fill that somebody wants, you sell it.
Yeah. This is preem. The stuff I got from SAR is a prime fill.
Have you made the cap for the SAR building yet?
No. No, we haven't.
Yeah, that's going to be. You're going to be able to kind of pull off and factor that into the equation.
If I can get the line off the high pressure side to the SAR building after it's on our property, I can then trench it any time because it's ours.
Yeah, but if we do what you and I discussed, that means the size of the segment. That means the size of things up. That means sizing things up and so forth. I mean, keep this in the back of your mind here. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Anything else?
That's it for me.
Thank you.
All right, is there any other county staff update stuff that we need to talk about before we go to the RFP? Okay, Ray, Wayne?
So we've given you a draft of the request for proposals for our refinement of the master plan. I've gotten back some comments from Fair Board members, which we're going to incorporate into here. I want to just clarify a couple things related to what's being done here. And it's really the distinction between the way that Jim and I have been putting this together here. The idea that we're doing kind of a global request here for proposals so that we can actually get the architectural and engineering expertise and that we're going to need for actually doing a site plan, a specific plan for the main building that we're talking about here. That's incorporated into this whole process so we don't have to do a separate thing. But the front end of this thing is to do basically the refinement of the master plan. That's that very open and robust public process of saying, what's the vision for and what do we see for the development of the 9 acres out there? What's going to be incorporated in addition to the main exhibit hall in here? And we've kind of identified some of the issues that the consultants will have to deal with, including a further, more detailed analysis of the existing facilities and infrastructure out there to see what can serve what areas out there. We're going to have to make some decisions about some current users out there. I appreciate what we've gotten from Friends of Lincoln County Animals in terms of, because that will play into now the discussions we have with utilization of the building they're currently occupying. I did note in here, and I wanted to make it clear, there's two other elements that we'll need to look at related to this, is that the Lincoln County Animal Shelter, which has been located out at that in that area since the 60s, they are actually in the process of doing their own examination of upgraded or redeveloped facilities. And while this is not going to be part of the master planning process in terms of their ultimate financing and how they're going to do that stuff, the location is important. in terms of, we need to make a decision as part of this master plan, are they going to continue in that area, or does this become something that, that might be available sometime in the future out there? So we're going to need to incorporate discussions and that element into the overall master planning process, and I've reworded that, Chair Gelker, to make that clear.
Is that a decision that rests with the county commissioners?
Ultimately with the county commissioners.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And since we haven't had this conversation, are there some preliminary thoughts about that?
Yes, I think the preliminary thought is to redevelop the on this site here. Okay. Now, what could be discussed is it could be that what they do is they move slightly from where they are now, where they do the redevelopment and tear down what's there, so that there's, for instance, more available space for parking, that kind of thing. But we're going to need to integrate those particular uses into the overall site plan there. You know, I think it's historically what has been done now is during the week when there's not events or activities going on, they occupy a little bit more space in there and they can provide parking. The same issue, I should say, the exact same issue we're going to have to discuss with transit, which puts buses on there during the week when the site's not being used. But when there's any event or anything that requires that, they've got plans to actually relocate those things. So all that needs to play into the ultimate development plan for the site, so we just need to recognize those things.
So am I correct that there is no current quid pro quo?
For what?
Relative to those two?
No, the animal shelter has been located there since the 60s.
Right, but it is on fairground property.
I can't tell you that. It's on county property.
Oh, yes, it's county property.
Yeah, and we might have some disagreement as to what constitutes county and what's
fairground. And all I'm leading up to is that if a quid pro quo is called for, then it would be, I would find it useful if we had discussions about how what they do could play into what a commons, especially where the children are concerned. That's where I'm going with that.
Well, no, and I think that's why you have to have that discussion now. They have to be incorporated into the discussion, because if there's going to be a change in utilization of the property overall, that's going to impact the historical users that have been on the property. That's across the board. We're looking at all those things. So it's really just identifying that those are things that need to be considered as part of the refinement of the master plan. It's nice to have that recognition. And the other element that we have discussed is also the inclusion of the fact that in any kind of emergency, and actually it's actually utilized right now, the fairgrounds has been an important part of emergency planning in there. If you have any kind of event that requires, you know, mass staging of any kind of thing like that, then we utilize those particular grounds for that purpose. And so that needs to also go into the discussion here.
Okay.
You know, as we develop these things, what would be utilized or could be utilized, you know, based on the ultimate plan that's developed there. And at least those considerations can go into the discussion.
And I think what we're talking about there is that we plan for that. We don't build that in ourselves, actually, or do that kind of thing, but we provide provision if necessary. So let's talk about, say, an emergency tent set or emergency circumstance. We might build in the provisions for it, but if somebody wanted it, I mean, the gen set would have to come from some other source.
Right.
Yeah,
we're not talking about actually building,
but having
the infrastructure on the side, if you will, to do this. But if you will, planning for it and allowing others, should they choose to do so, let's say County Emergency Services wants to do that, we would do what we could to accommodate them, but we're not going to pay for it.
With regard to the two uses that you mentioned, the shelter and the transit,
mm-hmm.
I understand that animal shelter is a county department, yes?
Mm-hmm.
What is transit to the county?
It's a district. It's a separate legal entity. It's governed by the Board of Commissioners, but a separate legal entity.
And is it focused strictly on what, school buses?
We've had some arrangements in the past. We have actually for a period of time, we actually allowed Mid-Columbia to park some buses.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Those become as users that they can't conflict with the primary purpose of the commons and the fairgrounds. You know, you have to look at that. So they basically work around what's ever in there.
We need
to incorporate that consideration. Can that be? And if the decision is that the grounds utilized in such a way that you can't park buses on there, that needs to be brought back in. will, you know, will offset to make other accommodations for transit to do that. So it's just part of the overall, you know, the planning process. We have to incorporate that.
The other thing that happens is road department employees park out there. The road department employee parking and the transit parking are extremely easy to deal with in the sense that there's no permanent structures or anything like that. It's just a matter of telling them, instead of parking the bus here, park the bus there.
Right.
And that's what we've done historically.
Okay.
We've either moved part of it inside of the road department yard or moved it to some area, other area that we control. That part of it's easy. The animal shelter is a different, pardon the pun, animal, because it's got a structure there and people need to get to and from it.
Okay.
If that's the one we, to me, represents the single biggest problem. The other two is just a matter of telling them for this week to park someplace else.
Mm-hmm. But we'll also need to incorporate into the plan because historically it's been part of the use, and we do have an intergovernmental agreement, is the surrounding properties, including the school district properties, because we have utilized parking. That's our arrangement, and the quid pro quo is they can utilize the grounds for different
things. When it's available.
When it's available. So we need to kind of make sure that that doesn't get lost in the process here as we develop mm-hmm. it, and potentially intensify uses on the fairgrounds. How is that going to impact the parking we provide? You know, what do we do to deal with that? So, you know, it's really kind of saying that we need to step back, look at this kind of historical pattern that's developed out here, look at what we want to do in the future, and make sure we're integrating all those things into a process. So you'll notice in the RFP we've included a lot of language around, made it a prime part of this thing that we have a really robust public participation process. When I say public, that's not just the general public coming in and talking about what they see as the vision for the development of the property, but also all the stakeholders. And, you know, you've got a lot of diverse groups that utilize the grounds currently and want to utilize it in the future. And we need to make sure we're tapping into all of those groups to get their input into this as you develop a final refined master plan. The other element that has been identified all along, and I have to say this is one I'm championing and will continue to champion, is none of this can be done. It's one of those things that I've said before, and I'll say it again. I can build you anything out there. I can
build
anything. You've got to have the money to operate. And so we want to refine, actually, the good work that was done by Eco Northwest initially on coming up with a business plan. We've developed some funding sources to assist in that process. We've identified those, and they'll be able to use that as sort of the framework for building around how are we going to operate? What is that operation going to look like? You know, who's going to do what? Who's going to have responsibility for what? And where do we generate the revenues or the additional funding that needs to come in to make this a very successful operation?
So when does it have to be nailed?
Well, what we're going to see from you guys today is if, in general, you like the tenor of what we're doing, the things that we've identified in here, we need to do a little more work to refine it and incorporate some of the comments, Frank, that you had provided to us. I've got some of those in. I want to add a few more. What I'd like to do is we'd like to get this thing out before the end of the month. And sooner the sooner the better. And then I'd like permission to be able to adjust some of the dates. I don't want to adjust the end date when we said we want the finished product. I think we can work within that, but I want to talk to Mr. Weisman. And also, just it depends a little bit on when we send this out. We want to adjust some of those dates for when we expect proposals to come back in, when we'll review and do that.
Okay.
The one thing I would suggest that this group needs to do working in conjunction with the Board of Commissioners is you talked about, and I want to talk about this element, we talked about having a review committee mm-hmm. made up of some stakeholders out here who look at the proposals that come in, make recommendations to you as a fair board first, and then you can review and make recommendations to the Board of Commissioners to select. So kind of a three-part process here to do that.
You're talking about the stakeholder selection committee or
We're talking about two different committees.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What I want to do.
Yeah, I want to make sure.
One of the things we can do is have a committee up front that reviews proposals mm-hmm. that come in. If you want to do that, that committee could also serve as part of the stakeholder committee that works with the selected proposer during the whole process of development of the plan, maybe expanded a group of expanded stakeholders, or we could eliminate. It's not uncommon for communities. I just went through a process recently that the city of Newport actually had one where they had a selection committee on the review of the RFPs. We could do the review of the RFPs and select the proposer. Then all you need to work on is the committee that's actually working with the selected proposer to kind of guide the community through this whole process mm-hmm. of redevelopment plan. But I need some guidance on that. What would you prefer to do with that?
Let me make a couple of comments. First of all, I believe we have two different committees. One to select the, on the RFP and then the bigger stakeholders. The reason, and let me just concentrate on the RFP selection committee for the moment. The fact of the matter is that we don't know how many of these things are going to come in. It might be none, it might be five, it might be 50. But if you look at the criteria, and we are required to specify the required criteria upon which they will be evaluated and how it will be weighted. You'll notice that in there, there's the criteria and a point system. It's a lot of work to evaluate even a relatively simple proposal. And when you got 20 of them to do, it's a hell of a lot of work. So I'm going to suggest that we pick a separate, if you will, relatively small group to evaluate and score the proposals and make mm-hmm. that particular decision. It has to be a minimum of 3, I would suggest it, no more than 7. And it's got to be people who've got some real time to devote to this. If we get, you know, 2 or 3 proposals, then no big deal. But I've also been in cases where we got 30.
Yeah.
And if we get 30 and you have to score them like this, we have to do that. We're talking about a lot of time. So, with those comments, what do you want to do?
Well, Bill, what's your thought?
I was thinking very much along the lines, Jim. The selection committee should be small. I was thinking in the range of 3 to 5. And the steering committee, I'm thinking more in terms of a large committee because we want as many people at the table as possible. I mean, it'll be a public process, and anybody who wants to come and weigh in can be there. But if they're selected as members of the committee, they're representing a particular constituency, they're making a commitment to participate through the process.
Since Jim has announced that he's got to leave, I don't want to have too much conversation where we already know how we think.
Okay, so let's...
So with regard to the RFP selection, mm-hmm. I would entertain a motion.
Let's see, first should we bless in concept the RFP itself?
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. I would move that we give conceptual approval to the RFP for the master plan process, subject to authorizing authorizing staff to make final refinements before issuing the RFP itself.
And understanding that the RFP does also include selection of a consultant for the building design purpose.
Yes, that's what this is all about.
And will it speak to these committees?
Yes.
No, let's make that a separate motion. Well,
No, I mean in the document.
Yes, it has to be.
Oh, okay. Exactly. So you need to plug that in.
Well, I can make the reference to the committee. I already have reference to the committee. What I'm looking at is the composition of the committee.
No, we don't need to decide.
I don't think that needs to be in the RFP.
Okay.
We're not. We just don't have time to do it if we're going to get it out on the street.
Yeah.
We have a choice. We have to put in the criteria. We have to put in the points available and so forth, but we do not have to specify, which is already in there. But we do not have to specify the members of the committee at this moment.
Okay, let's be careful when we say the committee.
I mean, talking about
the selection.
The one that's preliminary that's going to choose who is the consultant is called what?
The RFP selection committee, the review committee.
And the other one is going to be called?
Master Plan Steering Committee?
Yes.
Okay.
Something like that.
Just so
like
when
that.
We say committee, we're talking the same language. So do we have a motion?
Yeah. I made a motion asking that we approve in concept the RFP for Master Plan and Design Services.
Allowing staff
to finalize details.
And put it on the street when ready.
Yep.
I'll second.
Okay. And just one comment, and that is, you know, I'm thinking back to the days of LRS.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I like about this is that it's general enough. Because
mm-hmm.
the thing I, in retrospect, that I did not like is how pointed we were
that they didn't have much choice but to come up with something that we told them to come up with, as opposed to this process, which is, let's be objective as possible. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing I didn't see in here, besides the mission statement that
right,
I mentioned,
I
is I think they will think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
But I want something in here that says I want them to think outside the box. Okay? And in that regard, for example, maybe, and you use the word ancillary throughout this document, maybe that can only be achieved by financial considerations outside of what you've already mentioned. I'm not saying I should plant the seed in the consultant's head that, hey, you can go out for grants. But in that regard, since I already know that, I would like them to do a little research and tell me where are some good places to go to get money to support this project that we need money beyond the money that we're going to create ourselves.
Let me throw that into the business.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That's it, other than the mission statement. Okay. The word children is never mentioned in this document. And we spent a lot of time talking about that, and I want to be sure.
Yeah, okay. That mission statement needs to be in there.
I know where I want to add it.
So. Yeah, okay. So if there's no further discussion, you're clear what we want. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, it's unanimous.
Okay, next question, the RFP, if I may, Mr. Chair, the RFP selection committee. Last time when we ended up selecting LRS and ECO, as I recall, you and I and Mr. Belmont ended up being the committee, but I don't even remember how we were chosen as the committee.
Well,
what's easiest to give flexibility?
I may make a suggestion. I mean, by the time Mr. Belmont and I finish this, plus we've given him, we're going to give him at least 30 days on the street to respond. I mean, this is not going to be an easy RFP to respond to.
Right.
So we're going to need to give the consultants 30 to 45
right.
days
mm-hmm.
of their own time to work on mm-hmm. how they're going to get back to us. My point is, we do not need to worry about the selection
right now.
RFP selection committee at this meeting. But at the next meeting, we should have some thoughts on who we want to be on that and be prepared at the next meeting, i.e. 30 days from now, to decide
who's going to be on that committee
is going
and then
to
at
be.
Least start the discussion of who's on the steering committee as well.
Actually, I'm going to suggest that we not do that. We wait and we get the consultant
okay.
selected, we get the contract signed with the consultant.
And then work with them on selecting
what with them, we talk about the selection.
Because in concept, I really like the idea of review committee. This is pretty technical in nature.
Very technical.
Scoring based on criteria, that should probably be a small group, but the steering committee, I want
right.
lots
I,
of
I didn't want to get too deep into that, but that's a good
yeah.
point,
right.
though. I'll bring it up now since you have, which is that the RFP group is going to be very much a technical type of selection process,
right.
whereas the master plan refinement selection process yeah. committee is going to be a much, much bigger group mm-hmm. with a much, much more diverse
yeah.
Area to cover.
Good. Okay.
Thoughts?
I just want to lob this to you before I forget it altogether. The name of Don Mann floated through my mind for this RFP selection review committee. Whether that's appropriate or not, I don't know.
Yeah, I put that in my notes as well.
Great.
Yeah, because we need this.
Okay.
In other words, Wayne, in the RFP, you kind of gave them the background, the history,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't include the thing on Don.
Yes, that's
okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so with regard to the RFP, now, are we going to see that one more time?
Yes.
Okay.
Before I send it out,
electronically.
I'll send you electronically.
Okay,
very good.
Maybe a short turnaround, but we'll send it to you.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. So, I agree with Jim. The other stuff we can deal with later.
Yep.
Next month.
No problem. So, do you have everything you need from us?
You've given me direction. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah, one other thing. My wife and I are planning on making a trip to Eastern Oregon the end of July. I intend to swing by, if at all possible, and see this building at the Umatilla County Fair in Hermiston, which Commissioner Hall's talked about.
You have enough yellow tickets?
Pardon me?
Do you have enough yellow tickets?
That would be during the fair. I'll take another yellow ticket, but it's really not for that purpose. I'm assuming you until the fair.
Well,
but
you got to get through the front gate.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that their fair won't be on when I get there.
Oh, I got it.
But I'm going to need to contact somebody.
I'll forward an email from their city manager.
Yes. So one last thing for the good of the order, and I see Michelle still back there. So if they need volunteers to judge pies or cakes, I'd like to nominate Jack and Amy and Roy back there. And if they need someone to volunteer to do broccoli or kale or anything, I'm Mr. Bison.
No. I'm on the pie committee as the voluntary chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are we the only ones who have seen the RFP?
There should be copies out.
There are copies out.
Okay, yeah. I would appreciate, especially
Emily. Any comments back? I take those.
From your filter?
Yep.
You know, filter through your brain. Any thoughts you have to share?
There's one that's good.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it now.
No.
Just give me any feedback you can on that.
I will give
that
it to
I can
you.
Contribute to this, okay?
It will annoy anybody but you.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
And I would like to be on any committee that I can be on.
Cool. Done.
Francis.
Yes.
Got it.
Thank you.
Okay. Make sure you're there.
Francis,
you sign that.
When would you all like a brief focus report?
Oh, yes, by all means. We don't want to.
No,
let's quickly go over that.
I just want to talk, so I get excited.
Okay, this will just give us your contact.
Since the last meeting, we have in fact made an offer to purchase a property.
Is that public?
Well, this is a public meeting. I mean, it's a public meeting.
Yeah, I mean, are you willing to share that with us now?
Yeah, it's going to be in the minutes.
Okay.
We've made an offer on a property. We've received a counteroffer that is within the realm of acceptability to us, and we've countered with a few more tweaks. And with any luck, we might hear as soon as tomorrow whether they are going to accept our revised proposal and whether we have a deal.
Okay.
If it is tomorrow, it will make national headlines unless it conflicts with Donald Trump's announcement of his choice of a VP running mate, in which case he'll step all over our news cycle. And you won't hear anything about it on MSNBC or CNN. But otherwise, it's big news to us. And it looks as if it's going to happen. And if it does, we will have gotten it at a very advantageous price and conditions. And between our savings and financing and other ways of, you know, raising money to pay for this, it's entirely, you know, feasible and doable. And we've already started working on a functional plan for making the transition and a marketing plan to publicize it, get the community excited about it as we are.
Okay.
If we do have a deal, it's scheduled to close September 1st. So I don't know whether technically we'll be allowed to put signage out during the fair or anything to say future home of the pick of the litter. And probably the transition of the store, the retail operation, to the new building would not happen for quite a while, for a year or two, or maybe even more. In the meantime, we'll just start using it for processing and the sales annex.
Are you at liberty to share the address?
It's the former Adventist Church building at First and Fogarty.
Oh,
it has a little bit of frontage on Highway 20, enough to have a sign.
Yeah, they're double.
Out there, and there's parking out toward that. But again,
be a great distance move at all.
And no, it's
a lot more
block
space.
And a half. Block
yeah.
and a half.
Perfect.
So keep your fingers crossed.
Okay.
It's not a done deal until they respond.
That's
and
the way real estate deals work.
But we're close enough that it does look as if it should happen.
Thank you for the update.
Thank you.
All right, Michelle, did you get your question
answered?
All right, then, if there's nothing else, we're adjourned.